Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Tad
Tad
Aham
Aham
Matayor
Matayor
Madhya
Madhya
Varunya
Varunya
Shri
Shri
Madan Madan Kayo
Madan Kayo
Tamo
Tamo
Madam
Madam
Harishyami
Harishyami
Strength Drainayor,
Drainayor,
Ajitatmano,
Ajitatmano,
Tadaham Matayor Madhya,
Tadaham Matayor Madhya,
Varunya Shri Madantayo,
Varunya Shri Madantayo,
Tamo Madam Harishyami,
Tamo Madam Harishyami,
Srenayor Ajitatmano,
Srenayor Ajitatmano,
Tadaham Matayor Madhya,
Tadaham Matayor Madhya,
Varunya Shri Madantayo,
Varunya Shri Madantayo,
Tamo Madam Harishyami,
Tamo Madam Harishyami,
Srenayor Ajitatmano,
Srenayor Ajitatmano,
Tadaham Matayor Madhya,
Tadaham Matayor Madhya,
Varunya Shri Madantayo,
Varunya Shri Madantayo,
Tamo Madam Harishyami,
Tamo Madam Harishyami,
Srenayor Ajitatmano,
Srenayor Ajitatmano, Varunya Shri Madantayo, Tamo Madam Harishyami, Srenayor Ajitatmano, Tadaham Matayor Madhya, Varunya Shri Madantayo, Tamo Madam Harishyami, Srenayor Ajitatmanaha, Tadaham Matayor Madhya, Varunya Shri Madantayo, Tamo Madam Harishyami, Srenayor Ajitatmanaha.
Celestial opulence.
Tama Madam,
this false prestige,
due to the mode of ignorance.
Harishyami,
I shall take away.
Dainayoh, because they have become so attached to women. Ajita Atmanoh, being unable to control the senses. Translation. Therefore, since these two persons, drunk with liquor named Varuni or Madhvi, and unable to control their senses, have been blinded by the pride of celestial opulence and have become attached to women, I shall relieve them of their false prestige. Purport. When a sadhu chastises or punishes someone, he does not do so for revenge. Maharaj Parikshit had inquired why Narad Muni was subject to such a spirit of revenge, tama. But this was not tama, for Narada Muni, in full knowledge of what was the good for the two, was for the good of the two brothers, wisely thought of how to cure them. Vaishnavas are good physicians. They know how to protect a person from material disease. Thus they are never in tamagun. Sargunam samatityayatan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Vaishnavas are always situated on the transcendental platform, the Brahman platform. They cannot be subject to mistakes or the influence of the modes of material nature. Whatever they do after full consideration is meant to just lead everyone back home, back to Godhead. So Parikshit Maharaj has asked this question: how is it that Narad Muni can be revengeful? How he will deal so strictly and harshly with the two brothers? So here we see is that it's not due to revenge, because revenge means it's the mode of ignorance. Anger is stemming from ignorance. Generally, we like to think it comes from passion. But actually, anger comes from ignorance. Because ignorance means then we think we are not aware of actually what's going on. To be angry, then there's frustration. And in that frustration, then that is due to having an idea that we will be satisfied by some activity. When that activity can't be obtained, well, then we become frustrated and therefore angry. And depending upon the degree of the frustration, then the anger is greater, especially if one can identify seemingly a cause and that cause is wrong. Then the anger can increase greatly. If we can't tell why, we were just out in the field, we get hit by a bolt of lightning, or we step in some mud, or a tree branch falls on us, we can't really blame anyone. We can get angry, we can get upset, but you can't focus your anger, so you can't really taste it. Because for anything to be, full, there must be focus. So then that kind of anger, then you have to just say, well, it was just nature, or I deserve it, or maybe I should be more careful, or, I shouldn't go out, in the mud or out in the forest. Something you can, generally brings it back to yourself. But if you can find a reason that someone else is involved and logically you can point out how they're wrong, of course you have to ignore your side of the thing. But in any case, it can be done. One can ignore one's own position. And just looking at the other person's position, then... So by seeing the other person and being able to identify something that is wrong, that they made some mistake or they're not considering something. In other words, you can bring into it the aspect of justice. When that's there, then the anger can be focused. This is the person and this is what they've done wrong, so therefore anger can be, greatly increased and tasted. This is all the mode of ignorance. Because the point is that the other person is only an instrument. And whatever happens to us is actually coming from ourselves. So actually we're angry with ourselves because we want to be God and we're not very successful at it. So we're very upset with ourselves. It's like someone wants to get a high grade in a test. You know, they work hard, but they don't make it. Then they'll belittle themselves that, oh, you're so useless, this, that. And it gives a taste. It's a mode of ignorance. It's so we see in the Vedic literature that this whole aspect of ignorance is avoided. Now, then this looks strange for the non-Vedic viewpoint. Is here it is, it's very obvious that there's some incongruity in the workings of, you know, human nature or the operating of the material energy. And so why a fault wouldn't be found? Right? This person has done something wrong, either in some technique or some dealings. So why they wouldn't be thought wrong? That's on one side. That's normal. That's natural. Then on the other side, then we have the fun aspect of, well, you have done something wrong. You didn't do your, but you didn't get, you weren't successful. So why you won't criticize yourself? So we see is that those two sound pretty normal, pretty natural. And the modern world functions basically on, not even the modern world, just the material world functions on these two principles. That if someone else is wrong, you'll belittle them. And if you're wrong, you'll belittle yourself. Because in both cases, ignorance is prominent and anger can be tasted. Right? Either in a dynamic form, where it is going out to someone else, or where it is imploded into yourself. In either way, it creates a great intensity that we are able to taste the, you know, how do you say, the rasa of anger. Because these are the main rasas we taste, lust, envy, and anger. That's what is prominent in the material world. Then you flavor them with some other things, you know, how you say, lust connected with friendship or food or women or money, or anger connection with friendship or food or money or women, or envy connected with friendship or food or money, or like this. It just keeps going on. Same taste, just slightly different, you know. Instead of using cumin, you used fenugreek, or, you know, you put ginger, you didn't put ginger. You know, give some subtle variation. So this is what goes on. So Pariksit Maharaj is asking, well, how is it that Narad Muni, being a great sage, is getting angry and is chastising these two brothers? Why that's happening? Why this is going on? So here then Sukadeva Goswami points out as, no, this is different. Because the other is one is berating oneself that one has done something wrong. One thinks, I am the controller, right? To blame yourself means you have to think, I am the controller. If I'm not the controller, you can't blame yourself. Right? That my having done it is the cause. Right? That's also foolishness. Because you have to be the doer to be at fault. Right? So then if we're not the doer, then we're not at fault. But some fault, something's wrong there, so something's going, so what is that? Right? There's something wrong. So that is because the mentality is wrong. It's not the activity, it's what is the mood in which it's being done. That's the fault. It's being done in not in connection with Krishna, forgetful of Krishna, against Krishna's directions, self-centered, this kind of thing. The activity and the performance of the activity isn't the real problem. The real problem is the mentality. Right? To say the activity is the problem means you have to put faith in material activity. Right? So there's a whole other level that is going on here with Narad Muni. He doesn't put faith in material endeavor. He doesn't think he's the doer or that the brothers are the doer. Therefore, it's a different realm. of dealings. It's not anger. Right? Anger is in connection with the material energy. In this case, the question is about. So here it's that, okay, if I'm not the doer, then I can't blame myself. But something's wrong there. So it's not the activity, it's the mentality in which it has been done. The desire is wrong. We've had the wrong desire. The desire we have is going in the wrong direction. Our motive for doing the activity has the wrong motive. So in other words, it's desire. That's where our freedom is. Right? It's ignorance to think that our freedom goes beyond this. Right? It's due to ignorance that we forget. We think, I am the doer. Yes, I did that, I did this. No, we didn't do any of that. The modes of nature did it. You know, but why did the modes of nature do it? Because we desired it. Right? It's like the person sitting in the wheelchair and somebody else is pushing them around wherever they go. Yes, I went here, I went there. Well, let's get real. The person standing behind them pushed them here and pushed them there. They didn't go anywhere. They just sat there. Right? But the person behind them did what they wanted, their desire. Oh, I want to go to the temple. They pushed him to the temple. Oh, I want to go to the house. They pushed him to the house. So the person will think that because I desired it and it happened, I did it. No, but it's the modes of nature carried it out. And it was sanctioned by the Lord. So because He is allowing you to do it, therefore it's happening. But He does it through His agency. Like, you know, the child wants to do something like that. They can't do it, so the father makes some arrangement and the kid thinks that they're doing it. Right? The kid's not doing it. Like that. You know, so it's like that. So it's being carried out by someone else. Therefore, in the Vedic literature, then the motive, the standard of the mode of goodness is you don't berate yourself for past failure because you didn't fail. Right? The modes of nature are just interacting with themselves and giving various results. And because you're attached to this result, you call that good. And because you're not attached to that result, you call that bad. But the modes of nature are carrying it out. It's not us. What you can criticize yourself for is the desire to have been involved in that activity. So that's a matter of changing of the attitude. Right? So you don't change your attitude by thinking, oh, you're such a nonsense, and you're such a this, and you're such a that, and I'm so terrible, I'm so disgusting, and I'm the lowest of the low, and I'm this, I'm that, I'm everything, I'm the center of the whole universe, and I'm the most disgusting, and everybody should realize that I'm the center of everything, and the most terrible, and they either should become kind, oh yes, you poor soul, or yeah, you nonsense, so I could go on tasting my self-centeredness. But that's what's going on in the mentality, is that it's us. We think that it's being very remorseful and this and that, but no, it's just being self-centered. Because if it's really remorseful, then it's like, what is the mentality in which I did it? Why did I do it? What was my motive? And then is that Krishna conscious? Is that this, that? So it changes the mentality. The activity is fine. If it needs any adjustment, you just adjust it, right? That's all. It's no big deal. It's not your cutting something and you're cutting it too big and then you sit down and lament and oh, I'm cutting it. You change it, cut it smaller. That's all. And the ones that are too big go back and cut it smaller again. That it's no loss. The material energy doesn't, the potato is not going to sit there and say, hey, what's going on here? You know, it's like, you know, my dear, you know, cook, can you please aim? You know, they're not going to say that, right? So it won't happen. So they don't care. Potatoes don't care what size you cut them. Right? But we put the value on it, and we have the desires. Therefore, we're the ones that are involved and feel the emotions and happiness and pain and grief and loss. But they don't. So it's just, you just adjust. Something went wrong, you just adjust it. So what's the real thing is then real remorse is changing the mentality. That's the real prayaschitta. That's the real retribution to activities, is changing the mentality. So Narad Muni, then we see here, All he's talked about up to now is the mentality of these two brothers and the problem with the mentality. And so he's pointing out the mentality has to change. Therefore, whatever situations will cause that to change, then that is what is desired. So this is the direction he's going. So he's saying here, therefore, since these two are doing all this, then he's going to proclaim what is going to be the result, right? Of means what is the correction. So in this verse, this is the connection between everything he's been saying before and then what he's going to pronounce as the correction. Is that up to this time, he's been pointing out, because of wealth and position, then one loses direction. One can. The materialists, they lose their direction of what's going on. They fall into this ignorance. They think, I am the doer. With my money, I'm getting things done. With my money, I'm enjoying my money this, my money that. And because of this, they fall actually into the position of ignorance. They think it's very elevated, but it's ignorance. Then, how is it ignorance? Because they don't know they're not the doer. And pride is a symptom of ignorance. So when there's pride of doing, pride of something, some activity, some position, then that's there due to ignorance. So we see it's like a package. We see the modes are just working. They're doing it, right? It's textbook standard, right? Everybody feels they're very unique, but it's pretty textbook standard here, right? They get a position, then they think they are the controllers and enjoyers. So that's ignorance. Then from that, their pride increases, which is ignorance. Then they get involved in intoxication, which is ignorance. And then they get involved with women, in which they just become playthings and are totally in ignorance. Right? So everything is just ignorance, and it's pretty standard. It follows the same path every time. Right? You look at anybody, and they do the same thing. And then they make a mistake, right? So this is the point where then the significant thing in history happened. Right? The person gets the position, gets the power, gets this, gets all these things, goes nuts, and then something happens and it all changes, and then they just fade into history. Right? You look, every time, it's going like that. You know, Romans, a couple of guys sitting around with some wolves and that, and then they, when they get a little bit bigger, then they go and they find a river, and then they start something, and then it becomes an empire, and then they go like this, and then it disappears. You never hear of it again. Right? It disappeared. Now, where are the Romans, right? Right? Hindus you can still find, right? 5,000 years ago, they were there, and they're still here. Right? But Romans, where's the Roman? I mean, you can say someone from Rome is a Roman, but they're not Romans as far as their, you know, culture and direction and everything like that. It is different. Right? So where are they? They're gone. Right? If you take anyone, they come up, they get proud, they get this, and then they disappear. So now these two are going to disappear, right? This is the disappearing act. So here we see then is that Narad Muni, it's not anger. It's a matter of kindness. That if he just ignores it, then they will suffer. And that suffering, it's not, okay, maybe they'll suffer now, but they're going to suffer lifetime after lifetime. So unless you correct the mentality, only then the suffering actually stops. So Narad Muni here then wants to correct that for them. And so then he's preached to them, explained to them what is going on. This is also a proper method of chastisement, that first, what is wrong, what is the standard, what is all the considerations about it, are first explained, and then the punishment. So then Narad Muni is showing very properly the aspect of punishment amongst Vaishnavas. Right? Punishment simply means correction. Right? He probably gives the example here of the physician. The physician is correcting, so he's correcting the situation. Something has gone wrong in the diet, the behavior, the association, so it's created sickness. So that has to be changed. And so then there's a whole, you know, change, adjustment in lifestyle or attitude or food or some special medicines or like this. So the Vaishnavas are able to understand this and give the proper platform. Any questions on this?
But then when, if the material, the whole material world is said to be a correction facility.
Is considered to be?
Correctional
facility, yes.
For the living entities. But, I mean, they don't know that. How is the mentality being changed? Like, say, living entities being put down into the world species.
How is that working? Because they don't know.
Yeah, how is it means,
means someone doesn't know because they don't want to know. Okay? When you walk, it's just like when you walk, maybe when you're in the correctional institution, you may forget you're in there. And because you've been in there so long that it's just a regiment of the correctional institution, you just go. This time the lights go on, this time off, this time the doors open, this time they close, this time you eat, this time, and they have their regimen. So then they may forget and just get into the little things and, you know, where they sit and which is the best shower and, you know, all these different things like that. But when they walk into the correctional institution, they can see the difference between where they were and where they're going. Right? They know what's going on at that moment. So if they want, they can start correcting their mentality there. And then while they're in there, they can cultivate that. Right? That's one aspect. Another aspect is, while they're in there, there's always people that are following that are not like them. Right? That are not bound by the rules of the prison like them. And so if they are intelligent, then they will note that instead of opposing them, they will cooperate with them. And then by that cooperation, then they will come to the place to be able to get out. Right? So both options are there. So now if we look at it, when we come into the material world, Prabhupada points out that, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the first position that you're put in when you come into the material world is Lord Brahma. So since he's the one that's organizing it and he's the engineer of the universe, he's fully aware of exactly what it's for. Now if he wants to take advantage of that, then in that lifetime he can get out. But since we're still sitting here, it appears that we didn't. Right? That's the natural, logical conclusion. Right? So then after that, then it goes down from there. Brahma, then his sons, that's the next layer down. Then great, you know, Brahmins and like that. And then down to, you know, Brahmins here. Then Kshatriya, right? Just keep going until, you know, Creamy Bhojan, right? You know, like that. Big lake of bugs, right? So then, you know, we just keep going. So since we didn't figure out the first time, it was pointed out to us. And any time we're in, basically in human form of life, that option is there to, again, take note of that. And if not, then the animal kingdom is there. When in the animal kingdom, it does create subliminal kind of disturbance that you've never really been satisfied. So that's there. No one can really say they've ever been satisfied, right? You think and just sit down. Have I been completely satisfied? And if you think about it, there's been moments of satisfaction, but it's not complete. So there's no experience of that, right? But other things you can experience that are common for the animals and us. You know? So you can understand it's been consistent, your existence in the material world. So whatever it is the animals can just do what you're doing better. You want to do something. You know, how much can they get into being naked, right? You know, sometimes you're going to feel a little shy, right? But animals are, you know, in their case, trees, they never have to worry about it, right? It's just standard, right? If you saw a tree with clothes on, you'd think something's wrong here, right? But a tree's naked, then you think, yeah, this is normal. Right? So whatever you want, if you're into eating, you know, elephants are there. I mean, it's like, why be limited by, you know, being able to eat two or three times a day and that's it? You know, I mean, they can go on all day. You know? So, like this, then it's what the living entity wants. So then they get it, but there's still no satisfaction. So basically, once everything's been tasted, then in the human form of life, then one notes that, and then one wants to know why. So that actually starts human life and starts the process out. So when we, start that process, then we come in contact with those persons that are connected with the spiritual realm. That then brings us out of the material world. So by connecting with the acharyas, associating with the devotees, hearing the scriptures, then we learn what is going on outside the prison. And then we can learn how to correct that. What is the mentality that they're looking for to let you out? Right? A certain mentality. It means you have to have the mentality of what people in the spiritual realm have. It's not enough to want to get out. You have to have the mentality of those who are out. Right? That's why impersonalists never get out. Right? They may let them out in the front yard, but they never get out. They never actually get into the regular society. Like that. Or they go up on the roof or something. You know? So they don't get out because they don't have the mentality of those in the spiritual world. So that's there. And to keep one from, again, falling back into the material energy, then it's pointed out, okay, if you do this, you become this animal, you do that, you become that bug, you do this, you become that, you know, like that. So that you know, you connect, and you see, okay, so whatever I see around here is those who've made that. So human life is very rare. Right? So I should take advantage of it. Because there's more to life than just the things that are professed to be good, you know, position, wealth, enjoyments, these kind of things. There's more than that. It means those may be there, life may make life comfortable, but it's not the all in all. Like that, if they're taken as the all in all, then you become proud because you've attained something. If it's just comfortable, but you have other things that are there, it's just normal for you. Right? It means a wealthy person, traditionally wealthy family. The members of the family, what goes on in the house, they're not proud of because that's normal for them. Right? And their friends that they invite over are also in the same status, so they're not proud of it either. So they just sit in their luxury in just normalcy. Right? But the nouveau riche, then they're very proud of it, and oh, I'm enjoying so much, and they invite their friends over, like this, and then if they're also in that category, then they're comrades, if they're a little junior, then their ego is more. But otherwise, then it's normal. So the whole idea is that for the devotee is that if things are going nicely and pious, that's just a mode of goodness, that's normal. But the real focus is on transcendence. You know? But to keep one from forgetting to move forward and just getting, conditioned by that mode of goodness, then the faults of the material world are also pointed out so that one remembers that there is difficulty, you know, at every step, even in the mode of goodness. Is that okay? So that's the... Other questions? No? Yes?
You mentioned earlier something that the person becomes proud and they become proud of their whatever, then they put in a body or a position where they don't have it.
Uh-huh.
So
yes.
They can't be proud, they might be proud of it.
Yeah.
But if you do set pride, they.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Ajahn Prabhu is making the point that. Previous verse mentions that if somebody becomes proud of something, they're put in a position or a body that they don't have those things. So then they can't be proud. So then we see is that the material energy is working like that because under Krishna's direction. So then what the punishment Narad Muni is going to give then is going to be in line with the Krishna's principles. It's not separate from. So the standard of punishment is also then standardized by Krishna. It's not something else. It's just that. You know? So that's the point, is that if we're proud, we'll lose it. If we're not proud, then we have it. So this is the difficulty. is it's only a difficulty because we want to be God. Because the natural thing is why can't I have it and enjoy it, right? They say, you can't have your cake and eat it, right? You can have it, look at it, very nice, and everyone go, wow, great cake. Or you can eat it, but you don't have it. You can't have both. So, but we want both. That's the problem. Because all our problems come because we want both. Now, why do we want both, right? And why is it so consistent everybody wants both? That's because everybody wants to be God, right? Because God has both. He can have his cake, he can eat it, he can do whatever he wants with it. Right? We want to be God, so therefore, that's what we want. But it doesn't work. We're energy. So energy, it doesn't work like that. You have one thing, you don't have another. It just moves like that. That's what creates the variety. So if our pleasure is Krishna's pleasure, Krishna, whether he has it or doesn't have it, he's always happy because he has both. Just sometimes he focuses on one, sometimes on the other. So if we can make him happy, we become happy. Right? So we become happy through someone else's happiness. That's how we become happy. God becomes happy through his own happiness. Right? And he can increase that by including others. But he is happy in himself. He is Atmarama. We're not. We're happy when he's happy. Right? Because if he's happy, because we're being part of him, we're happy. It's just the way we are. So we can't have that. So you can have the thing, but you can't have the pride. You want the pride, you can't have the thing. It's just the way it goes. So if we look at it, then the material world will drive you nuts. Because whatever we want, you can't have is when you want it. If you don't want it, you can have it. Right? So that's the problem. So the only way is then connect it to Krishna. Right? That's given as the first thing. Okay, you're materialistic. You want those things. You want to enjoy them. So then connect it to God. Right? I want it, but I can't have it myself and enjoy it. So if I connect it to God, then because it's connected to God, God's happy, then I enjoy it. It's coming from two different things. But I will put them together. Right? I have the thing, and I'm happy because of the thing. No, you're happy because God. Just I've connected this to God, and therefore, from God, I become happy. But the two are next to each other, so I can think, yes, you know, I did it. And then with time, as we mature, then you see it's not the thing, it's making God happy. So then one gives up that process and moves to the next. But the other way is in the beginning, it's given, as it's the natural process. That's the first stage. It's just dovetailing. It means take your things, engage them in Krishna. Because Krishna's happy, then you're happy. You have the thing, and you are happy. But otherwise, without him, it can't work. It doesn't work. Because we're not God. Yes.
There's such a thing about it as false pride.
False pride. Ah.
So what is real pride? What is false pride?
Okay. He's saying that the term is there, false pride, so it must be there's real pride. Pride is then actually is ego, and just you're taking yourself as the doer. So then real ego then is I am servant of Krishna. That's the actual position of identity. So pride is actually just as an identity. I'm a rich person. It's an identity. Because of this, therefore I can move in these circles. I can deal with this person this way, that person. The ego is simply so that we can create relationships. That's its purpose. Because without an ego, there's no relationships. That's why the impersonalists, that's their whole point. Get rid of the ego, then you get rid of all relationships. So, its purpose is that. So then if we establish that I am actually servant of Krishna, then that creates our relationship with everything else, with Krishna, with all other living entities, with the material energy. So then, that's the actual false, I mean that's the real ego. And then pride itself is a... its natural form is generally found in some of the rasas to enhance the rasa. You won't find it in how do you say in Santa Ras are in servitorship, generally. But it's something, it's where you're doing something with somebody, with Krishna, and you're involved in it. And you're very happy to be involved. And happy with what has been given to you to do in that. But it enhances the relationship. So generally you'll see it normally within friendship or in the conjugal rasa. You won't generally find it in the others. Sometimes in servitorship, if there's the aspect of chivalry, because chivalry then brings it to equal equalness. So Hanuman in his fighting or something like that, when he's doing it in his servitorship to the Lord, then it's there. So chivalry, you can find it. It's a natural thing. It enhances chivalry if that pride is there. Friendship, then that chivalry will be found in friendship, will be found in the conjugal rasa. Right. So, generally that's the only place where you find it on the transcendental platform. But it's natural form that's always there, because there's always an identity here of ego, false ego, is that I am servant of God, it's the real ego. Is that okay? Not really.
Can you be proud to be a member of this cult?
One sense you can, because but the pride is who is special, us or ISKCON? If it's us, then it's a problem. If it's ISKCON, then it's not a problem. Then it's a glorification of ISKCON. Right? So then you'll see, then it comes back. Well, why? Because that means it's better than something else. Right? So that aspect of chivalry comes in. Or an aspect of virtue, nobility, you know, some other of these kind of, you know, fine qualities. It can come from there. It can also come from those aspects of doing something right. And so, since this is the Lord's mission, and this has been, this particular aspect has been given to us by Rupa Goswami, then down to the Acharyas, and then the specific manifestation of what is now of the mission is what Prabhupada has given us. So it's right. So to be part of that, then there can be that aspect, you know, from coming from doing what's actually right. But here it's transcendental right. So it goes beyond the, you know, pious, virtuous right. So from that angle also, yes, that pride can be there, as long as it's understood that the thing is, what is being done is right, and it is special, but not that I am special. Otherwise, then, that will show in one's other activities, and then one's pride will then affect your relationship with others. But if the identity, I am serving the Krishna, is there, and then that pride there, then one identifies with the mission, one protects the mission, one does what is best for the mission, one helps others who are in the mission, you know, so it can enhance. That's not a problem. Is that okay? Yeah.
And you just said it, and just to take it for my clarification, because we think we're the doers, this is ignorance, we think we're the doers, we turn the game, and then we suffer a lament of what we get and what we don't get. Then again, it says, Krishna says, the living entity, happiness and distress is not, I'm not doing that, that's dependent on the living entity. Their own happiness and distress, that's coming out from them, mm-hmm. not from there. So, what is the mention
of that? So, question is if we're not the doer, and it's all being carried out by the modes of nature, so then, the Krishna, so we suffer and enjoy from our actions. But then Krishna says he's not the one doing it. It's because Krishna, the living entity, they're the cause of their enjoying and suffering. So the key there is the enjoying and suffering. Because the enjoying and suffering, that is the living entity. The activities that are happening, that is the modes of nature. Right? The living entity desires, and based on the desires, let's say, the living entity has an attraction to something and wants to enjoy something from that attraction. So they desire to perform an activity. then the modes of nature create the situation and the abilities and the interaction of that activity. Then a result comes from that, also given by the modes. Now, when we get that result, then if it's what we originally desired, then we'll call that happiness. That moment of receiving what we desire. If what we desired is frustrated, we don't get it, then that's called distress. So we see is that what happens is that there's, I'm desiring the thing, and then I get it or don't get it, then I enjoy or suffer. But what happens in between, the modes of nature are carrying out. So that's just happening under Krishna's direction. He doesn't do it himself. Material energy has been instructed. So she knows what to do, so she just does it. So because of the desire only, then the modes of nature do those things. So that's why it appears that I am doing it, but actually the modes of nature are doing it. But our enjoying and suffering, that's us. We don't have to enjoy your suffering. Right? That is our choice. It means we get something nice, we don't have to be happy. We get something not nice, we don't have to be sad. Right? It depends upon what is there. It means you find great personalities, then it means you have a goal, okay. Then what's in between your goal, you don't enjoy or suffer. Right? They have a goal, and if they're really focused, they know the field that they're dealing with, then the troubles that come up in that field are known to be in that field, right? If you're running through a muddy field, then mud doesn't bother them. They know that's there, but they're trying to get to the other side. Or something good comes up, they know that's still part of the field, but that means that they're progressing towards where they're going. And the other means they have to make some adjustments. But in any case, that's not their field, that's not the place where they enjoy or suffer. They enjoy stuff, their end result is gained or not. Right? So the small things in between are minor. So if you set your goal as Krishna, then whatever happens in between is not a major thing. You get material facility, you lose material facility. You get material prestige, you lose it. It's not a big deal. You don't have to get involved. What is pleasing Krishna or not pleasing Krishna? That's where you actually find your satisfaction. Does that make some sense? So it's just the mechanics of it, the modes of nature work it. And if you go in one desire, the desire itself, by acting on it, creates the same desire. And so then the modes of nature also work on that. So they'll naturally take you down the line of that desire. You know, you start at, A, Z is at the other end. So they naturally take you there. But if you look somewhere else, then you go that way. You get on the train from here to Delhi, but in Kanpur you get off and you take a train to Hardwar, and then you get off there, and then take a train to Vrindavan, and you get off there, and then you go to, so it just means the train you're on will get you to there. But if you get off and just go on another path, then that new one will get you there. Point is, you get on a thing, it will naturally take you down that path, and you'll get that result. If at some point you decide to get off that one and get on another one, you can do that. But there are points of connection. You can't get off the train in Delhi and get on the train in Madras. You can get on another train in Delhi that goes from there. Yes, means you work for that 6 months, you got it, means according to your karma you can get it. Means you have that balance in your account. It's just like you walk from here all the way over to the bank because you want to take out money. If you have money in your account or the amount that you want, you can take it. But if you want 1,000 rupees, you only have 500 in the account, you can't get it. like that. So you wanted this pair of shoes, but then you don't have that money. You have to buy something less, because that's all that's in your account. So that aspect is there. That's why it's all so complex that it's not easy. You know, that's the thing. Because Krishna, Sati, Sankalpa, whatever he wants happens, then the modes just carry on everything so perfectly. You know, so therefore we think, you know, we're actually doing something, and the things here actually have some meaning. Because others, you know, you can always find others who have the same desire. In general, if you're talking social things, somebody else thinks that's good also. And then it enhances, yes, this is a value. But if nobody says it's good, then you doubt whether it's good. So it's just a matter of changing. Instead of vox populi, we take what Krishna and the Acharyas, what they say is good. And then we take that as our standard.
If you're not doing it for Krishna at all,
yes. If you're not doing it for Krishna, then duality is guaranteed. Right? That you can guarantee. Right? Very few things you can guarantee in this world, but that's one of them. But if it's connected to Krishna, you can go beyond that. Like that. But in between, because probably gives an example of turning off the fan, it goes for some time. So then there may be some, you know, difficulty from that, or some material gain from that for some time. And then after a while, then that all stops, and then it's just Krishna. So there's always the junction. That's the thing we always have to remember, is that I may have changed my mentality today very seriously, but there's a junction between what my mentality was and what it is now, and that will get some result from that. There's always an overlap. So even though today I'm good, and I'm good from today on, I may still get some reactions of things I've done before when I wasn't so good. So then if we think, well, I'm good, why are these things happening to me? No, that's because you weren't good before. These are the results of bad before. And what you're doing now, that's coming in the future. So that overlap, how big that overlap is, where the things from the future are starting with the things from the past, that we can't say. And so therefore we tolerate whatever comes from the past. And we're always enthusiastic about attaining the goals of the future. Is that okay?
If you're a example of a wheelchair and the person in the wheelchair, then you may say, take it this way, take it that way. And the person pushing the chair, the one from nature, apparently sometimes they say, no, you can't go that way.
Yeah, that's that.
So, which element is it, according to your desire or your previous karma, as to what direction your life takes?
The direction of your life is a combination of both. Because desire only has created the karma. So ultimately you can say it's desire. But because of some desire you had before, you can't go there. So you say, I want to go here. And then the person's pushing the wheelchair says, no, you already previously made an appointment. You have to be there. So you have to go there. Because it was our desire before that created the karma. Because it's only from desire then that you get activity. And the activity creates the result.
Can I cancel that appointment?
It means if it's within your karma too, then yes, but if not, then no. Like that. So that's the thing, is that we're always trying to figure out how to cancel that appointment, you know, by, you know, this gemstone, by this, you know, ritual, by this, that, or, you know, I got out of bed and I stepped on my left foot for, okay, get back into bed, lay down, get back up, step on the right foot first. You know, so we're always trying to cancel, you know, but the point is, and it's not even that I did that. That's omens. Omens is that's just showing what's coming. You know, it's like the, what do you call it? What do you call those? The previews?
Yeah, the trailer, the coming attractions. It's not that you created, that's just what's coming, you know. Like that. So then we think, well, if I turn off the trailers, then that movie won't come next week. No, it's coming anyway. You want to watch it or not, that's another thing, but that's what's coming. Yeah, people spend a lot of time trying to cancel rather than just going with the flow. But the mentality has to be changed. That's the thing. Is that something bad happens, we're not just callous. No, we try to understand and change the mentality. Then we get the most out of it. Then it only comes how much it needs to change the mentality. See, the modes of nature, how much you deserve, you're going to get, whether you change your mentality or not. It doesn't matter. But in Krishna consciousness, you change the mentality. It's the results of previous activities are only there to change the mentality. You change the mentality, you don't need the results. Because the whole purpose of those results are to make you Krishna conscious. So when you wake up to that, then when you become Krishna conscious, it's not needed anymore. Then it's only things may happen that's not due to your karma. Krishna arranges this so example can be set for others who are under the influence of karma. You know, like Yudhishthira, he doesn't deserve to lose his kingdom. But it's done so that others can learn from it. What to do if you lose position or facilities or like that. So those devotees, then it's pastimes. It's just arranged by the Lord. Like that. But for others, then it's the results. Is that okay? Like you see, Yudhishthira didn't suffer. He just went with it. Bhima suffered. You know? You know, because he thought this is unjust, you know. Why Duryodhana? You know, but at the same time, you go back, you see it's still a pious thing. Because Yudhishthira is just. Therefore, Duryodhana shouldn't be there. You know, this is God's law. So then, it's being not followed. So even his dissatisfaction still goes, if you follow it back, is not actually personal. Same with Draupadi. It's not personal. But it gives the feeling of, if you look at just face value, then you see Yudhishthira just accepted, therefore he's peaceful, and Bhima and Arjuna and Draupadi, they weren't, so therefore they're in anxiety. But actually, even them, their anxiety is based on Krishna consciousness. So it's a different thing.
Does Bhima enjoy it like anything later?
Oh yes, not that matters. He had a good time. Yeah. Then it makes it more fun. Why, it's just a boring old war. You have to have some action. It is the Lord's pastimes. Ratarachima Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Sarvadeta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Daigo Mudra Bhaktivinoda ki.